Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to keep going with this series about Islam, the Quran, and Muhammad. And so with that, let's go ahead and jump right in. We already talked about this. The Holy Spirit obviously is one part of the Trinity in Christianity, one of the persons of the Trinity, and is called God in the Bible. God. Holy Spirit is called God many times. To the Muslim, the Holy Spirit is Gabriel, who, you know, the angel who gave the Quran to Muhammad. Jesus, to Christians, he is God. He's the Messiah. He's the perfect sacrifice that died for our sins. By the way, he's both God and man, sometimes referred to as the hypostatic union, this union between attributes of both God and man. And Matt Slick always wants to talk about the communicato idiomatum. He loves saying that word. And you know what? Now that I just said it, I kind of like saying it too. Communicato idiomatum. So there you go. There's a theological term for you if you haven't heard that one. And so the Muslim view of Jesus, he's just a prophet. He's a good, great man, just a prophet. He is second only to Muhammad, and Jesus is not the Son of God. He is not God. He is not part of the Trinity. He has no divinity at all whatsoever. He was not crucified, and consequently, he didn't rise from the grave. Judgment Day, let's move on, occurs on the day of resurrection, where God will judge all people. Christians go to heaven, others go to hell. This is interesting. Judgment Day for the Muslim occurs on the day of resurrection, where God will judge all people. Muslims go to paradise, all others go to hell. And judgment is based on a person's deeds. And like I said earlier, their eschatology is so, so very bizarre and different. It'd be fun to do a series on that. I don't know how edifying it would be, but it sure would be fun to do, just kind of jump into it for a little while and look at their view of the end times. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see how that would really help any Christians, but sometimes a good rabbit trail is fun, right? So I don't know. Anyway, the Quran. To us Christians, it is the work of Muhammad. He wrote it, not God, and it was not delivered by the angel Gabriel. Although, guys, remember Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through, I can't remember what verse. If we or an angel preach any other gospel than that, then what we have received, let him be accursed. We also hear from the Bible that Satan appears as an angel of light and delivers, it delivers false gospels, tells people whatever they need to hear to lead them astray. And him and his ministers will appear as ministers of light. And we have seen instances like the angel Moroni visiting Joseph Smith. What is that? And we have Muhammad claiming Gabriel showed up and gave him a message. We have people like Madame P. Blavatsky, the theosophist, who claims that she's visited by ascended masters, these angelic type beings that have given her this messed up gospel. Alice Bailey, all these occultists, people like Benjamin Cream, kind of sounds like a donut, a Benjamin Cream pie. I don't know. I think it's pronounced Creme, Benjamin Creme. All of these different people claiming to have angelic visitations. Neil Donald Walsh and his Conversations with God. We'll do a series on that someday, too. People are getting caught up in that goofiness as well. There's always visitations of beings. In fact, what, Edgar Cayce had visitations by some gray alien-looking thing? Again, it's the same concept. Satan will show up in whatever package he needs to show up in, whatever package, whether it's a Greek god or a Mormon version of God or whatever, to lead you astray. He loves lying. He's the father of lies. He's good at it. And contrary to what some pastors teach, Satan, I firmly believe, is more brilliant than any man. Okay? He's got his thing going on. And he knows how to lead us astray. We are compared to sheep in the Bible. And we just kind of blindly follow around whatever our itching ears want to follow. So all that to say, still talking about Christians' view of the Quran, it's not inspired of God. It was not written by God. But to the Muslim, it is the final revelation of God to all mankind, given through the Archangel Gabriel to Muhammad over a 23-year period. And it's supposedly without error. We'll talk about that sometime. There are tons of errors in the Quran. It's riddled with inconsistencies, problems, surahs that were supposed to make it into the Quran but never made it because people died having only memorized the surahs. Other surahs that Uthman completely took out of there for political reasons. Other surahs that another fellow who advised Muhammad, advised him to take and modify a change because they didn't make any sense. Consequently, Muhammad did listen to him, but then later had the man killed. But he kept the changes, by the way. It's just that the guy knew too much. Guys, the Quran's riddled with problems. It contradicts the Bible. It contradicts itself. It contradicts the Hadith. That is the Quran. Man is made in the image of God. This does not mean that God has a body, but that man is made like God in his abilities, like reason, faith, love, etc. Okay? To the Muslim, man is not made in the image of God. Man is made out of the dust of the earth, and Allah breathed life into him. Okay. Muhammad. Christian would believe that he is non-inspired. He is a non-inspired man born in Mecca, 570 B.C. Again, born in Mecca, and he started Islam. To a Muslim, he's the last and greatest of all the prophets of Allah, whose Quran is the greatest of all inspired books. Check this out. Okay, so original sin. All you guys know this. It's a term used to describe the effect of Adam's sin on his descendants. Specifically, it is our inheritance of a sinful nature from Adam. The sinful nature originated with Adam and is passed down from parent to child. We are by nature children of wrath. To a Muslim, there is no original sin. All people are sinless until they rebel against God. And people don't have sinful natures. Huh. And moving on, the resurrection. Like I mentioned before, check out my series about the evidence for the resurrection. There's so much evidence to show that Jesus did rise from the grave. On the other hand, the Muslims believe that Jesus did not die on a cross, thus wasn't resurrected. I mean, they completely ripped that out from under Christianity. They have nothing to back up that claim. Absolutely nothing other than the fact that Muhammad said Jesus didn't die on a cross. Therefore, it's a done deal. So they disregard all of history, all of the writings, biblical and extra-biblical, all the people who were put to death for their faith. I mean, Christianity changed the world. It all came from the belief that Jesus rose from the grave. And they completely disregard all of that and just simply say he never died on a cross. So rather it was Judah, who apparently looked just like Jesus. All right, so moving on. Salvation, to us Christians, it is a free gift. Okay, Christ died on a cross to pay for our sins. He is our mediator. No works are sufficient in any way to merit salvation, since our works are unacceptable to God. It is a free gift. To a Muslim, forgiveness of sins is obtained by Allah's grace without a mediator. The Muslim believe Allah exists. They believe in the fundamental doctrines of Islam. They believe that Muhammad is his prophet, and they follow all the commands of Allah given in the Quran. So if they do all of these things, believe all the right way, and do all the right deeds, they might, as long as they can trust that Allah won't change the rules at the end, they might be forgiven. Possibly. Maybe. They don't know. The Son of God, a term used to designate that Jesus is divine, though he is not the literal Son of God in the physical sense. I've talked about this before. They believe that the Christians teach that Allah literally had, or God literally had physical sex with Mary to produce Jesus. That's what they believe. They believe that, okay, they don't believe that Allah had sex with Mary. They believe that Christians believe that God had physical sex with Mary, and that Jesus is the physical Son of God. That's nonsense. Again, if Muhammad truly was talking to Gabriel, he would know better. Christians don't believe that. That's nonsense. Mormons do, but Christians don't. All right, so moving on. The Trinity, three persons, one God. To the Muslim, I mentioned this earlier, Father, Jesus, and Mary. Again, if Muhammad was truly talking to God and getting inspiration, the exact true doctrines of God from Allah, okay, he would know better. He would know that we don't believe that. That's not what the Trinity is to Christianity. There are Muslims, you can go all over the internet, that still think this. It doesn't matter how many times you set them right and say, no, we don't believe that Mary's part of the Trinity. They refuse to believe that what we're saying is true. They refuse to even believe that the Trinity is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, in other words, they're telling us what we believe, even though we've got, I don't even know, hundreds of millions, if not possibly billions, of books written on this subject, at least touching on this subject somewhere in there, and not a single one says that Mary's part of the Trinity? Are you kidding me? I don't get it. So that, you know, Muhammad should know better if he's talking to God, but he doesn't. He thinks that Mary's part of the Trinity. And last, the Word. Of course, you know, Christians believe that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is Jesus, right? To the Muslim, Allah's command of existence, which resulted in Jesus being formed in the womb of Mary. So there's a pretty big difference there. So anyway. All right, so that's the end of Matt Slick's article. Again, I'll put a link on the website as we're covering this, because what a good article. I love Matt's stuff. He writes well. He puts things together in a way that you can understand. And so hats off to Matt Slick of Karm.org. This is a good place to stop. Tomorrow we'll keep going. We'll look at some more beliefs of Islam. Come on to the website, youthapologeticstraining.com. And there, guys, you can leave comments and questions. I do want to talk to you. You can also catch me on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.